Welcome to Create Live, where we explore how to create an impact through content that is truly, authentically, uniquely you. I'm Larry Petrucci.
And I'm David Foster.
Today we're talking about experimentation with your content, with your business, with your life, all of it. All of it is so important. And we like to give you tips, but also really kind of talk about our processes and any lessons learned through our combined. No, I'm not going to combine the years. I've been doing content for 13 years. You've been doing it for 10 or 12 or something like that.
I've been doing it since 2006 or 7, somewhere in there.
Yeah. So about it, just about as long as me. Yeah. But not as long. It's okay. Okay. No, I like to give them a hard time.
Different
about
forms
that.
Of content, but yeah.
Very different forms of content, which is beneficial for you because we come at it from different perspectives. So
that's for sure.
I was taking a tour of my nephew's new school. He is going to what they call a project-based school. It's very, very different than a traditional school, which this is a passion of mine, of conversation, and that I don't ever really talk about is the education system. It's completely screwed up. I could go on for hours about this.
Me too.
But I definitely love to see new innovative kind of methods when it comes to schooling. And, you know, Loki, my nephew, he's 13 now, and he's never had a great experience in school because he's very, you know, creative. He's very intelligent. He's creative, but he's kind of all over the place, right? And a lot of people would call that ADD, which I don't like labels, so we're not going to call that. But he's had trouble in school and not, he's tried homeschooling, he's tried regular schools. A lot of kids are like this because they're sitting in a box and they're forced to sit down for hours on end
and
without
fed,
any mental,
and they're fed all sugar for breakfast,
right,
and
lunch.
I remember my brother Philip was telling me a story how he went to visit the school one day and the teacher had given the kids cookies, like a few cookies for a snack before nap time, and then was complaining because none of them would lay down and go to sleep. And my brother's like, you just basically gave them all crack, and now you're wanting them to lay down and sleep. It's like, you know, like that's the biggest part of why kids are so hyperactive is because sugar is a huge part of their diet, their daily diet. And so, not to get into
anyway,
that.
Anyway, that's a whole other conversation, which we can definitely have at some point if we want. But it's definitely a passion of mine. I left school sophomore year to homeschool and teach myself because I wasn't learning anything in school. And I don't like the system, even though I was like all honors and we were doing stupid projects and not learning anything. Anyway. Horrible thing. But I went on a tour of this new school that he's going to, and I was really super impressed because I'm taking the long way around here to get to the topic of today. But I think it's an interesting
tie-in.
That's
usually what I do.
I know. Usually I get right to the point.
And usually you're looking at me like,
what are you talking about?
All right, let's wrap it up.
As I'm walking through the school, there's a lot of cool things about it. Very different project-based learning as opposed where everybody's working on real life projects as opposed to just sitting in a classroom reading a textbook. One of the things that they do though is they give them specific time for curiosity sessions. That's what they called them, is curiosity sessions. And I was like, what exactly does that mean? And they were talking about how they allow the kids a good 3 hours, I think, in the day. And this is not every day, but when they do it, it's like 3 hours of dedicated time to just explore whatever they want. They choose the topic. They get to say, hey, teacher, I'm interested in exploring this. And then the teacher will work to get resources for them to learn that thing, right? Or to explore and experiment with that topic. And it really brought back this whole passion of mine when I saw this. And I was like, oh my God, that's the most amazing thing. Because I, have always been super passionate about, like, how can I help kids And I don't do anything with this, but maybe one day I will. But like, how can I help kids experiment with their content creation, like early on, or their skill sets, in order for them to understand what they're even good at? Because when I got started in video, I had zero idea I would be good on camera, or zero idea that I would be able to read a prompter, for goodness sakes, without it being something that sounded prompted, right? And there are skills inside of all of us that we're just not aware of until we experiment, until we try things. And so,
although now, because you learned that skill, you're kind of pigeonholed into always having a long time to set up and having a studio, because you can't really do that outside easily.
But I can still, I still do it. I still do it without a prompter.
Right, but it's a very long process then. You know what I mean?
That's just as long as you would just vamping.
Yeah.
It is. Because you redo and redo and redo yours. Like, if you just go off of bullet points. Yeah. I am playing to my skills.
No, I know.
Instead of I'm just saying, being pigeonholed, because I can totally do off the cuff. That's live video for me, right? So I don't think that you're right on that. Sorry. Mixing that.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, anytime we got to shoot over there, it's just a process to set up. And it's not a bad thing. It's just.
Yeah. I mean, it is a process,
but you're kind of pigeonholed into a studio is what I'm saying.
I don't have to be, but I choose to be.
Yeah.
But I can do it on the fly anyway. Yeah. So if I want to.
That's true.
I just find the easiest to get. Anyway, this is kind of going off topic. We're all off topic right now.
We always go off topic. I'm here.
But yeah, so Nika is actually saying, because we record this podcast live, she's saying in the chat room, curiosity sessions, how amazing. I want to implement that at work. And that is a great idea, because to kind of come back to tying this into your content, into your business, I believe that people need time to be explorative.
Yes.
and learn things about themselves that they don't know exists.
Well, I wish they would have had that when I was growing up, because I really wasn't. I did not fit into the school box. Like, I struggled in school, especially math. If it wasn't for my junior year math teacher, I wouldn't have got through it. I would not have got through algebra. Yeah. I just could not comprehend algebra for anything. I still to this day have to count on my fingers if I'm counting anything. When I'm figuring out tips, I have to sit there and go, okay, 10% is this, and then 20% would be this add. And I have to, you know, sit there. And that's why I always do even amounts, so I don't have to figure out the change. You know what I mean? Like, I don't do an exact 25%, because then I would have to figure out, like, the change and do adding and subtracting right there on the paper. And if I would have had something that would, you know, be able to help me with my music, because I had very good music skills. And like, you know, just skills that I wish I would have learned to embrace sooner when I was a kid, rather than realizing later in life that I had them.
Right.
Because I didn't have the encouragement coming from school, didn't have the encouragement coming from home. Although music was a huge influence, so I did start playing violin in fifth grade or whatever, but that's not what I wanted to play. I wanted to play drums.
Yeah.
And I was told, no, I couldn't get drums. I had to play the violin. So I was kind of forced into that, which was good because it taught my ear. But I just wish that they would have had more programs like that when I was a kid, because I think I would have probably, I probably would have went the music route.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely would have went the music route in my life instead of where I'm at right now.
Hmm. So then we would have never met.
We don't know that. Could have been at a concert somewhere, and I could have seen you in the front row.
I've been
a
groupie.
Yeah, seen you in the front row and been like, hey, Callie Lewis is here. Because you'd probably still be Callie Lewis if we didn't meet.
Yeah, you're right. I probably would be. And so I think Phil is saying, I like that. I suck at math, but I do digital marketing because it's creative.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Like, I there are so many. It's funny because my senior year, I had a course called government, and I hated that class. I hated it. I loved the teacher, though.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine got copies of the final exams from the previous year students. He purchased them, so we had a copy of the final exam.
Oh.
So I memorized it.
Oh my God.
And cheated on my final exam.
David Foster.
I did. But here's the funny thing.
How dare you?
But here's the funny thing. Because that teacher liked me because I did like the Salvation Army bell ringing for extra credit and stuff. Like I did everything I could to get the extra credit because I was struggling with the material. Yeah. So when he was walking, handing out the final exams for their, for the final grades, when he went to sit it on my desk, he looked at me and he goes, cooperation equals graduation if not caught. And slapped it down on my desk, and then he winked at me and kept on walking, which
he
means
let you slide.
He knew exactly what I did.
Don't say his name publicly. He might get in trouble.
Mr. Slayball, he might not even be there anymore, but he was a great guy. But the thing is, what other students told me is he does the repetitive, he keeps the final exam the same every time so that people can do that and think they got away with something because...
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's weird, but yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
Huh.
So I was totally busted, but didn't
hilarious.
Get in trouble. Yeah.
So, you know, obviously the kids thing is a passion for me for sure, for you, but also the chat room, it looks like as well. There are a lot of, you know, people talking about school systems and how kids work and everything. So thank you guys for chiming in with this discussion. But let's kind of tie this in back into you and your content as well. I just think that it really starts early on in terms of experimentation that we need to be doing. But at the same time, you know, when we get into business and when we start our businesses and when we start creating content online, we don't have the resources to, just like the kids don't have the resources to understand what their potential is. We as adults do not have the resources when we start creating content to understand what our potential is when it comes to content or even our business models. In the last episode with Jill Stanton, she was talking about how she started out, their business model was affiliate marketing. And then they went on to this, and then they went on to that. And they tried every different possible model of business and making money that they could in their space. And then all of a sudden they realized affiliate marketing is our thing. You know, it's like they came full circle. But they went away from that for a particular reason because something at that time was kind of drawing them into other models, or they thought, well, maybe this will be better for us or whatever. But that experimentation process led them to the full realization that this is what we really truly are good at, that uses our talents best. And through the experimentation process, they have more capability of making the affiliate marketing work, right? And so there's this whole process that experimentation is necessary for in order to get you to where you need to be. And I think a lot of people see, you know, trying different things in content or business models as a failure, you know, and like you kind of run up into people being like, well, you're trying this now, that didn't work. Well, maybe it's not just a failure. Maybe it's just purely the experimentation process that we all must go through to learn ourselves, to learn the environment that we're in and match the place that we are in our lives, right? And so all of it tying together is really, really important. And then content itself as well is something that people struggle with because they think there's only one kind of content to do, or that they just stick with one kind of content, or that they only stick with one type of topic within their content. And content is one of these things that you do not know what is going to work until you've just put some stuff out there. You do not know what is going to work, even though you think you do. Can
well,
guarantee you the
is,
audience will tell you what works.
What you think is going to work usually doesn't, and mm-hmm. what you don't think is usually does. That's the
Can't
way it usually works.
Tell you how many times I've been like, I'm just going to throw this out there. It's not going to do anything, but just throw it out there. And then all of a sudden, bam!
Like Raspberry Pi video.
Raspberry Pi video. The copyright music on Facebook video on our YouTube channel has 172,000 views, and I'm having to redo that because there's more accurate information now, and I'm like, and then everybody's watching old information, and I'm like, ah. So, you know, there's content that, and I didn't think anything of that at the time. It was just purely a question that we were answering in the moment and put it out there. You never know what is going to work, and so you must experiment. Just play with kinds of topics and ideas.
And I think that's why, you know, you look at a lot of YouTubers like Peter McKinnon, for instance. I always use him as an example. When we talked to him, he was like, I don't plan it. I do what I'm passionate about, you know, and that's the thing. I think we sit there and we try to think about what's going to be the best content for my market. What am I going to do? How am I going to do this? And you get away from doing something that you're passionate about. And when you do that, then the content can get stale because you're not passionate about it. And I know that's one of those words where it's like, oh, what do you mean passion if I'm not passionate about it? You know, that kind of thing. But just something that you could do every single day and not get tired of it. You know, like I feel like I could do political commentary all the time and would probably not get sick of it. But I don't do it because, you know, where I'm at in my business, I think I would probably... you know, could alienate a lot of people, and I don't want to take that chance. So that's why I don't do that on, you know, whereas that's what a place that I feel like I'm pulled, and that's what you want to look at. You want to look at, like, what can you do every single day and not get tired of it? That's what you probably should be doing.
Yeah. There's a whole other conversation about you and that political show, but I mean, we always tell people just do what you want.
But it's hard because
it is hard.
It's hard because, like, we're trying to build this brand, and that right there could affect this brand.
Right.
I mean, that's
it. Could the,
it,
it
is
it
things
definitely
you,
could,
you
but...
do have to think about. Now, I'm probably not as like politically. I don't think I would. I'm not controversial.
You're not. Christopher says, you need to experiment to see what will stick. You look throughout life, and most of the successful people become successful because of experiments. And Scott Jan says, a lot of times we ask our podcast audience what subjects they want to hear. They tell us engaging your audience is key. Absolutely. And that's the key thing to realize is when you're creating your content, like I said, you know, you just throw something out there and it sticks, and then you put so much work into something and it doesn't. A lot of people get frustrated by that process, but what you're doing in that process is asking your audience by delivering different things, especially in the beginning. You have to ask, and not necessarily, like, once you get an audience, you can actually ask that question and get an answer. But when you're just starting, you're asking by doing. And that's an important process to accept, because a lot of people just get so down when they put so much effort into something and it doesn't work, right? And they're like, I just spent days on that. But it all averages out, because sometimes you won't put any effort into it and it works. And so it all balances out, right?
I put like 4 years into Hubsy and it didn't work. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like 4 years of my life and about...
I put 10 years into Callie Lewis and that didn't work out.
Half a million dollars in development and stuff, and it didn't work. And I wasn't like, oh, man. It's so funny because I got a comment on a YouTube video a while back. Hey, you're that guy from Hubsy.
Yeah.
I could never trust you again. You know, like buying a product, I'm like, couldn't trust me again because I tried for 4 years to make something work and Facebook made changes and I had to close it down. Therefore, I should just go get a job and never try anything new.
I can't stop laughing right now because can I tell you something that Philip said?
What's that?
Philip messaged me the other day because I actually, with the Jill Stanton interview, I actually mentioned that story because she brought something up similar. And Philip responded back. It's like, what is that? He said, every podcast episode, Hubsy gets mentioned in some form or fashion. And he said it's like, it's a reference that I won't get. Uncle Rico.
Oh, Uncle Rico Napoleon Dynamite. Yeah.
I thought that was funny now that you've just brought it up again.
Yeah.
Okay, so getting back on track.
I mean, I only bring it up when it's relevant.
No, I know. I do the same thing with my old stuff as well. So I just kind of want to open this up, like, to the audience as well. Like, what are you struggling with in terms of that process, or do you feel okay doing it? Nika said earlier in the chat room that she loves Twitter for that reason, because it's an experimentation kind of platform, right? And so you can try things like on social and then let that lead into videos or live videos that you do.
And not even just content. Like, the reason that I learn the stuff that I do with streaming and everything is because I experiment. I'm down here... You know, I've got three computers running one stream right now, and I'm doing all this different stuff and putting these different things together because I'm trying to experiment, because I want to make the stream better. I want to figure out things that make the workflow easier. I'm trying to figure out things that use less CPU and less GPU, right? So I'm constantly experimenting down here, and it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
You want to do the same thing and see what sticks, not just for your audience. I would worry last about your audience. Find out first what sticks for you.
For sure.
You know,
That's a good point.
What makes you motivated to do content every day. Once you find out what sticks for you, then start putting it out there, and then let it kind of morph as your audience pushes you in certain directions, because your audience will definitely let you know what they're going to watch and what they won't watch. So as long as you're doing what it is you want to do and you start putting that out there, you're going to get the feedback and start to move until you're just like, okay, all of a sudden, boom, then you hit this level where you're like, okay, this is what they want. I'm loving doing it. And then you just go.
And along those lines, you mentioned Peter McKinnon, but Peter McKinnon wasn't always doing the same kind of content that Peter McKinnon is doing now, right?
Right.
So he started out with magic?
Yeah, well, he still kind of does, you know, things that are a little bit, like he's doing documentaries sometimes, and then he's just doing the things that he wants to do and just letting the audience react how they're going to react. It was funny because when you were like, what kind of keyword research and stuff do you do? He's like, keyword research?
He didn't even know what that term was.
Yeah. He's like, what's that? I don't do any. He just does videos and puts them out there.
Of course, his topic in general kind of lends itself more to that versus some more how-to type topics, which if you're like doing YouTube content, for example, you know, if you're going to do tutorials or how-tos, that lends itself much better to some.
But the thing is, some of his how-to videos are the top of his videos, like how to do this with a GoPro. And he just did it. He didn't do any research.
Right, but that's not what you go looking for.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is don't sit there and get overwhelmed at first with trying to find out what to look for, right? Just put stuff out there.
Yes. At first, you're just experimenting.
Right.
You're just trying different things, different topics. You know, Nika has actually gone through some of this process as well. It's like, I've got all of these different things that I'm interested in. Where do I start? And everybody has that when you're first starting. It's like, okay, I've got this. And
I still
have
that.
I'm passionate about that. David's all over the place, all the time. but that's your magic, even though it frustrates me sometimes. But that's okay. That's another topic for another time.
Yeah.
But you know, and I have more focus kind of topics, and so we all work very different, and you have to balance your personality with your passions, with what people want from you. And so let's talk about like how you do that in the first place. Just three simple steps that can give you some like momentum forward is to first just brainstorm the hell out of content ideas. Like, just sit down for an hour and write down every possible thing you know, like, want to talk about. And it may go from coffee to
bacon to Star Wars to Marvel. And then you're there.
And then you have a whole bunch of ideas, right? And then you take that and you start doing different types. And most people are going to be like, well, I want to talk about tech. All right, well, what kind of tech do you want to talk about? Like maybe you try this or that kind of tech, and then you'll find your sweet spot.
Right. And that's where, when you see where you're going to get traction, then you just pew.
Exactly. You focus in on
focus
that.
Focus in on, hone in on that. And like I said, and then once you do that, that's where then your audience will start to help you pivot. Mm-hmm. So you're just like doing this, and your audience is like responding to, like, for instance, I watched a channel completely explode. Now this is, it's called Geeks and Gamers. And he started covering things like the like Star Wars controversy, where they were, you know, the director was like wrote a bad movie and all this other stuff. Whether you like the movie or not is irrelevant. But he started focusing on that topic specifically and went from like 30,000 subscribers to now he's like probably up to a quarter of a million and getting like 30,000-50,000 views every video. He's killing it on live streams. And this was within like 5 or 6 months of him just finding his sweet spot, listening to his audience, listening to what his audience was reacting to and doing more of that content. And the more of that content, the more they reacted. And then he launched another channel doing the same thing with other people, and it's exploded too. So he's basically just built an empire around that kind of content just by listening to his audience.
And how do you know they're reacting? Comments are through the roof, or
views.
At least more views, more comments.
You're getting comments and reactions right away when you post content. So that's a pretty good indication, is when you're seeing the stuff happen immediately when you post content, that's a pretty good sign. And I actually don't even really like his content. It's not for me, you know. But I do watch him every once in a while just to see kind of how his audience is reacting, because I'll go out and watch creators and that I might not otherwise watch or agree with, just to see what they're doing with their audiences. Like, how are they growing? What are they doing? And that's part of the experiment process as well. If you have something that you want to do, go see what other people might be doing in the space and kind of see what they're doing and get some inspiration from them. I mean, you don't have to like them. You don't have to like their topic. You don't have to participate in the conversation. Mm-hmm. But just to kind of see what other people are doing to build audiences. Like, there's a guy, if you guys want to see a good two good YouTubers that put out good information on like live streaming and stuff like that, go check out Alpha Gaming and Epos Vox, EPOSVOX. These guys put out great information, and their audiences they have very loyal audiences. Mm-hmm. And if you want to see how they use live streaming and recorded video in tandem to build their audience, they're great examples of that. Nimmin's another great example of that, of how to use your live stream and videos together to build a very engaged audience. Because that's what it's all about, engagement. Well, hi, Abs.
Abby is asking to come up in our laps. She's like, hey, you guys just have ignored me.
You said a couple words that made me curious. Hi, girl.
Hi. There's... hopefully that helps. I mean, hopefully that helps kind of give you some guidelines, but also just the okay to start moving through that process. A lot of people just need the okay. Mm-hmm. They need the permission to do so, because they hear different advice and they hear you must focus, and you can't focus until you experiment. So just understand that that's something that not a lot of people actually talk about, but it's an important part of the process that you can't get to the other side without, at least in my experience.
Right.
And maybe one day, I will pick up that passion of with the kids in experimentation and help them a little bit more in that sense, because the whole thing that I started off with is just like, it drives me insane a lot of times.
Insane in the membrane.
Insane in the brain.
But one thing that I did when I started doing the Uniquely You videos, like, people reacted strongly to the way I was doing those videos, and that wasn't prompted, right? That was like really raw, really just me kind of talking from the heart.
The Uniquely You videos?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that has been bothering me ever since, because I never intended to really do a whole lot of videos. I wanted to do the podcast, like what Jill Stanton was last week. But like that reaction, I noticed a different reaction from the audience. And that's the kind of thing that you have to pay attention to. And so I have to figure out how to
stop doing them.
What?
She was getting a good reaction from the audience, so she stopped.
No, that's not why. That's one of the things that we all struggle with and that we have to balance, is like, I stopped because, well, one, the LSP side of things was really needing a lot more attention at that time, and I was struggling to do it all. And then I wasn't sure how I was going to focus on two different things at the same time. And then we kind of started kind of integrating things into each other. And I'm not even sure, like, how am I going to take what I learned over there with the audience reaction and integrate it into this content? How can I continue that conversation but not destroy what we've built with LSP? And like, these are real problems that we face, and it never stops. I've been at this for 13 years. It never stops because you're constantly growing as a person. You're constantly experimenting. And the other side of that is that once you find something that works, you have to hone in on it and focus. Or if that's not going to work, then you have to figure out what to do with that information. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's a struggle. I will say this stuff isn't easy.
The struggle's real.
The struggle is real.
It is. It really is.
So more on that later, I suppose.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add, David?
What was the topic?
Oh, my goodness. Go away. I'm going to kick you off for another interview soon.
Are you? Yeah. Hey, I might do an interview, too.
No, you're not allowed.
At some point.
Oh, God.
I might interview somebody.
I'm not sure how that's going to go.
I am.
Definitely let us know what you thought. Last week's episode was definitely very different than these that you're used to. And so we'd love your feedback. What do you like? What do you don't like? What do you...
What do you and what do you don't?
That works. Okay.
That works.
Not that you, I don't think you don't like anything because you're still here, but give us feedback because, hey, we're experimenting. That's part of the process and we're asking for your feedback. So I would love, love, love to hear from you and what other things that you want us to discuss as well.
What is that? Kumbaya?
No idea.
Synergy.
I just
synergy.
Did a little motion with my hands that is really
That's
weird.
That's the thing for synergy.
I think it's more like Sound of Music. And the girls, the little girls are like singing to go to bed.
I don't remember.
So long, farewell.
Yeah, but
at least they start out like that.
Do they?
I think.
I just remember from the movie with Topher Grace and Dennis Quaid. I can't remember the name of the movie, but it's a really good movie. What the heck is it? Anyone in the chat remember the movie, the name of the movie? Topher Grace, Dennis Quaid, with the synergy thing?
I don't know. Oh, my God. Scott Jans just posted in the comments. Peter Drucker wrote that you have to completely change the way you think about your business every 5 years. That's so interesting that you just put that quote. I don't know that quote. But I was just thinking yesterday, like, oh, my God. It seems like everybody I talk to, every 4 to 5 years, things completely.
45 years.
Four to five. Everything changes for everybody. Actually, Harris posted a video about some of the transitions that he's been in his business, mm-hmm. and it was in a 5-year mark, 4-year mark for him. My transitions have been in a 4 to 5 year mark. Your transitions, David, have been in a 4-year mark as well with the Hubsy, right?
Well, only because of Facebook.
But I'm just saying, like, I was wondering just yesterday, is there a thing to this 4 to 5 year kind of time frame? And so it's very interesting that Scott
it's
just
called
put
the Mandela,
that,
the Mandela effect.
That's not the Mandela effect.
Yeah, it is, because every 4 to 5 years we go to a different plane, and sometimes we end up on the same one, and sometimes we end up on a different one. So
that's a whole other thing. Mandela. David has gone through a YouTube Mandela effect rabbit hole.
I actually didn't really.
Like you did.
No, I just saw a couple things because people were.
All right, we're going to wrap this up, baby, up. Thank you so much. If you want to leave us feedback, you can actually go to Anchor and leave a
I was going to bring up
video.
An example.
Oh, okay.
They don't leave a video. They leave an audio comment.
Well, you screwed me up. I was going to say it right, I'm sure.
I'm sure you were too.
What's the example, David?
So I was going to say.
Let's not wrap this up.
No, here, I just want to get with the chat. Here's an example of the Mandela effect. And those of you that are listening, if you ever want to join live and join the conversation via chat, we're on Facebook, Mixer, Twitch, all kinds of stuff. Having a good time. So come join us. So a lot of people, I'm going to ask in the chat, whoever's here, do you remember Forrest Gump saying life is like a box of chocolates, right? Life is like a box of chocolates. Mm-hmm. You never know what you're going to get. Mama says life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get, right? But if you go back and watch it, he said Mama said life was like a box of chocolates.
Yeah.
As in past tense. But it's like I everything that I remember, I remember it the other way. And there's a whole bunch of people. That's what they're calling the Mandela effect. Whether or not, you know, because some people have shown instances of him saying it one way and some the other. So who knows? But they say it's like parallel universes. And some of us aren't on the same parallel. So we hear one thing and the other hear another. So just kind of I don't buy into it. I'm just saying it's interesting that that actually exists.
Would they have clips of you
know, Paul says you generally do know because up at the top generally they have laid out which ones. The more expensive chocolates tell you what you're going to get. The cheaper ones don't.
Oh,
so.
I don't think that's true because I've had some cheap chocolates. That do you?
Well, cheap chocolates. So wherever Forrest Gump got his chocolates was probably a place that didn't mark what was.
Life is like a loot box, mostly crap, but every now and then you might get something good.
Yeah. That's why I quit
well
Loot
said,
Crate.
Paul.
That's why I quit. I was like getting so many like things that I just would never use. Some of them are on the set actually. So I mean, use. All right, I'm going to stop recording.
Abby
now.
Is wait, hold on. We got to wrap this up. Abby is trying to wrap it up for me. Abby, oh boy, Abby, you're just so. This the podcast is not the time for this. Yeah. Okay, so thank you so much for hanging out with us and having this conversation with us. If you're watching live, don't go anywhere. We'll hang out with you. But if you are not, if you're listening to the audio, make sure you're subscribed, but leave us an audio recording. Let us know what you think.
Come to the anchor.fm/createlive. CRE8 live, and you can leave us a voice message that can possibly end up on the podcast.
Indeed. Have a wonderful day and go experiment.
Yes.